The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Teaching kids about money, why it's not as easy as 1, 2, 3. How financial apps are replacing the old-fashioned piggy banks and the vital lessons we all need to learn about cash. Welcome to The Money Show, the FT's weekly podcast on personal finance and investing. I'm Lucy Warwick-Ching, FT Money's digital editor, and I'm bringing you a special podcast dedicated to teaching children how to manage their money. The piggy bank is dead. Children as young as 6 years old can now have contactless cards that parents top up and control via smartphone apps. But are these innovations an effective way of teaching the next generation about managing money, or a pricey gimmick? Which app to choose will depend on how much financial freedom you want your children to have. Are you happy for them to have their own debit card that they can use in shops and online, or would you rather they were limited to a cash card that can only be used to withdraw money from ATMs? Our FT reporter and parent, Jonathan Mould, has been researching the best accounts for his children, and he joins us in the studio to tell us what he has, or rather has not, found. Jonathan, tell us what you've discovered.
Well, I have three children, aged 8, 10 and 12, which means our eldest has recently started at secondary school, and we start thinking about things like paying for the bus fare and the tube fare in the morning. So we wanted to encourage him about money. We also see lots of children are getting smartphones from their parents at this age, and I was amazed at how ridiculously easy it is to get yourself a new iPhone for free from Carphone Warehouse and a contract for as little as £13 a month, and the kid can text and call as much as they like. And yet then I started looking around at trying to get a bank account with a card for my child to actually pay to get to school in the first place, and hit lots of roadblocks.
So I guess you've been particularly disappointed by the lack of kind of innovation on behalf of the high street banks. Tell us about that then.
Well, every bank will say to you, yes, we have lots of children's accounts, which is sort of fine for my 12-year-old. But if you're under 11, then there's suddenly a big no. We won't give your kid a bank card. The basic tool of accessing your money. Even though there are these wonderful new fintech startups that are offering children a bank card, the kind of smart card, contactless card that we're all used to from the age of 7 or 8 upwards.
And did you have a look at any of the apps that are out there?
I did. And there are these card services. There's Nimble, Osper, GoHenry. They'll give you a contactless smart chip and pin card, just like us adults are used to. And there's an app where you can, for each of them, where you can follow your children's spending and you can load money onto the account or Auntie Doris's birthday gift, which are all very wonderful. But there's a price to pay for those ones. And that's because they've got to create a viable business model. And unlike the high street banks, I guess they can't take deposits and lend money. So you end up having to pay a subscription, which feels like a bit of a swizz when the rest of us are all used to free banking as adults. And that seems not a very good preparation for your children.
And so what did you go for in the end? Have you made that decision yet?
I must admit, we went purely on price, which I think is fair enough in a banking context. And the options seemed to come down to there was GoHenry, that charges £2.99 a month. There's OSPA, which charges £2.50 a month, and there's Nimble, which charges £1.50 a month. Now, they also have different charges on those, but Nimble, which was the lowest, also they charge you after the first withdrawal from a cash machine each month, and there are overseas charges. But our kids don't tend to keep pulling money out a lot, so that seemed a decent option to go for.
Okay, thanks very much there to Jonathan Malls. You can read the full FT Money cover feature on Teaching Your Children About Money later this week at ft.com/money. So we've just heard from a parent looking for ways to teach his kids about money. Now let's talk to one of the growing number of providers that's launched into this market. A listener contacted me last week to tell me about this provider and said she's using this app to help her teach her son about managing money. The app is called Rooster Money, and it is essentially a budgeting tool. It works very much like an online piggy bank, allowing parents to top up their children's accounts with pocket money. When a child has enough to buy something, they can then flag the chosen item on their account for the parents to buy. I'm joined in the studio by Will Carmichael, co-founder of Rooster Money. Will, can you tell us a little bit about what motivated you to set up the app?
Sure. So on a personal level, I used to work in advertising, specialising in financial services. And what really came out of that is how emotional finance is, particularly personal finance. And that actually finance is so important in everything we do and our sort of well-being and what you call financial well-being. So became really interested in actually how do you build confidence in money? I think particularly looking at children, it's a huge opportunity to develop habits, positive habits around money. And there's a huge amount of research out there actually saying that by the age of 6, 7, you can start shaping some of those habits, which will stick with you for life. So I guess we were looking at a vehicle that would help us do that and make it contextual. So Rooster Money really is designed to take lessons about money and put them into the everyday and to help parents have positive conversations about money. And that's really our aim. The other thing just to say is that I see technology as a huge enabler in this. You know, in the UK, between sort of, well, around 85% of 2 to 15-year-olds have access to a phone or a tablet. So that's a great opportunity to actually bring to life in a cashless, increasingly cashless society, money for kids.
And how would you say that Rooster Money differs from the other apps out there, like GoHenry and Jonathan mentioned Nimble?
Sure. So Rooster Money is designed to take kids from their first steps. So you can add, your kids age 3 or 4 onto the app. You can use this like a reward chart. So you can award stars. And then you can move them into giving pocket money, so an allowance, setting goals. You remain the bank of mum and dad with us, so we don't take deposits. And the idea is that you have, as a parent, control over the ins and outs so that you're there to have that conversation. And really the idea is to move you to graduate into a bank account at the right time.
So perhaps I need to get my 4-year-old signed up. And you conduct something called the Pocket Money Index. Can you tell us about your findings? What do kids want to spend their money on these days?
Yeah, so the Pocket Money Index really came out of questions that we got from parents. You know, what is the right allowance to be paying my kids? What are people saving for? What should I be encouraging them to think about? And it's been a really interesting sort of survey. So in terms of what kids save towards, the most popular things are holidays. They like saving towards those. Mobile phones, those are big value items, and actually parents encouraging kids to start thinking, okay, if you want to get it, you've got to save towards it. We've got, you know, in terms of things they spend it on, it's things like fidget spinners, apps, the magazines in the shops, all those things. And actually you see the discussions that are going on between parents and kids from that. Okay, you want it, you've got to pay for it.
So I guess that cuts out the annoying conversations you're having in the supermarket as to when your child asks you for a couple of pounds for a magazine or something.
Yeah, and I think talking about this, making it contextual, you know, the nice thing is you're in the supermarket, they want to get that magazine with the plastic toy, and you're like, oh, I really don't want you to get that. You're never going to read it. Well, you can actually say, okay, what are you saving towards? Do you really want to get that magazine? It's going to be the expense of your Lego Death Star. And you can deduct it in front of them. Mm-hmm. And you're empowering the kids to make a decision and removing that pester situation.
Thanks very much. That was Will Carmichael, co-founder of Rooster Money. You can read more about his app and others on ft.com/money or in the FT weekend newspaper this Saturday. Finally, let's turn to what makes children save and spend. Research from the University of Cambridge says people's money habits are set from as early as age 7. If we leave financial education any later, then children could struggle to pick up good habits as adults. Greg Davies, a behavioural economist at Oxford Risk, joins us in the studio to talk us through the importance of getting to grips with finances from an early age. Greg, so what makes children behave in certain ways towards money? You tried the famous marshmallow experiment on your own child, so can you tell us a little bit about what this study is and why it's so important?
Yeah, I tried it on both my children, both when they hit the age of 4, which was where the original academic research focused on. And the marshmallow experiment is very simple. You sit your child down, you put one marshmallow in front of them, and then you say, I'm going to leave the room, I'm going to leave you on your own for 5, 10, sometimes in the original experiment it was as long as 15 minutes. I'm going to leave you, and if you at the end of that time have not eaten the marshmallow in front of you, you will get 2 marshmallows. And so what this is, it's effectively a test of self-control of children. But also, of course, it gives a sense that waiting can deliver benefits. It gives a sense that, you know, money compounds or that interest is there. Why this is so important is when these tests were first done in the 1970s, they followed up the experimental subjects several decades later. And it turns out that the children aged 4 or 5 who were able to resist eating that marshmallow did substantially better in all sorts of aspects of their life later on. So instilling this sense of self-control, this deferred gratification, and giving children a sense of that ability and why it's important is actually one of the things that can make them more successful in all sorts of aspects of their life, because we have to put in hard work to do well, and that requires delaying the immediate gratification.
And can you tell us a little bit about how children learn, or what are the techniques for perhaps getting them to manage their money?
Well, you mentioned the Cambridge evidence and the age of 7. There is an awful lot of talk about the importance of financial education, both at an adult level and a child level. So education in schools and classrooms and seminars. And I have to say, the vast majority of the evidence that looks at financial education in a classroom setting tells that it's an incredibly expensive way of achieving almost nothing. So what we really need to do is if we want to get our children to make better financial decisions, firstly, we need to get them early and we need to give them familiarity. So 2 things. It has to happen in the family context. So firstly, parents giving their children some access to money or familiarity with money. So the pocket money is actually, you know, this is not just a nice to have for kids. This is something that gives them vital experience at an early age that will have benefits later on. But also something as simple as talking about money in your family. I mean, in many families, money is almost a taboo subject, sometimes between couples, never mind with children. And that can be extremely harmful later in life, because we simply don't develop the apparatus to enable us to, A, be familiar with what money means, B, to make those trade-offs. If I buy this now, I have to sacrifice something else. And C, this notion of, if I save now, money grows over time. And those are really the 3 most important things we need to instill.
And so should we be perhaps encouraging the children in the supermarket, maybe giving them some money and saying, can you go and see if you can get the best value tomatoes? Or, I mean, what about kind of hands-on experience?
Well, I think hands-on experience is vital. I'm not sure I can see my children getting too excited about the best value tomatoes, but certainly, you know, giving them a small amount of money to spend and going, you get to choose, and you have to look at the prices of things, and you have to see, you know, do I want 2 really cheap things or 1 slightly more expensive? That familiarity and getting to make a choice in the moment is really valuable.
Thanks very much there to Greg Davies. That's it from the FT Money Show this week. To get in touch with our team of writers or ask one of our experts to look into a financial dilemma, please email us, our address, money@ft.com. We'll be back next week at the usual time. Goodbye.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.